When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah.
2 weeks in a row, very much not Sean Ross Sapp. I'm John Alba. That's Jimmy Van. This is The Hump over on Fightful and Fightful.com. Don't forget, make sure before we get started, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in all wrestling. That's where you're going to get all your scoops courtesy of Sean, who unfortunately is not with us here today, but we did The Hump last week, Jimmy. I'm excited to be back on with you again this week. I'm wearing my Wyatt family outfit to celebrate the occasion. And
as soon as I saw you, that's the first thing I thought,
yeah.
John.
Yeah, we're here, baby. We're here. How's it going, man?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm well. And I want to remind everyone too, to get your super chats and not doing humper chats today, but your super chats, you get them in. We'll make sure that your comment, your question, whatever it is, gets read on air. Vaz asking, is SRS okay? Sean's doing okay. You know, got a lot of personal life circumstances right now, but he's doing okay. And just wanted to help lend a hand whenever I could, you know.
Yep. Thoughts are with Sean Ross Sapp and his family. I'm not gonna go into detail because that's his business, but he's doing all right. We still chat a little bit every day. I think he'll be back next week.
Yeah, just had to call to the bullpen for the like fifth best option here. So I'm trying to feed things out the best.
Who would have been second? I'm curious. Who would have been second, John?
I don't know. I mean, you got a good crew here. You know, you got Lambert and Joel holding things down in the mornings, mm-hmm. on In the Weeds. Cade and Pulowski always do a great job. It's a good crew. Now you brought in Andrew Zarian, and you know, that's a whole nother. You may as well be looking at Andrew Zarian right now, you know?
So it's, somewhat.
That's how that goes. But yeah, man, what's been going on? How's your week?
Busy. Life's busy, man. Two little kids. It's busy. This is where I get to actually have peace and quiet for an hour, sort of. You know?
Yeah, you choose to spend it talking about pro wrestling. You got to reevaluate your life decisions.
What the hell is wrong with me? Well, I want to start by talking about a personal story. And if anybody's watched this podcast for a while, you might have heard me talk about this before. And so I apologize if I'm rehashing anything. But the reason I'm going to talk about it is because last weekend I was able to watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode that just came out about Sherri Martel. And I got personal stories about Sherri Martel. Put up that photo that I gave you. So this here, if you can believe it, I can't believe how time goes. This was from June of 1999.
Wow.
So we're coming up on 25 years. People on Twitter told me that I look like Dominic Mysterio.
A little bit. I see it a little bit.
Do you?
I see it a little bit in the face.
Well, if that's the case, apologies to him, because that means in 25 years, he's going to look like what's sitting here right now. But her and I both worked for an indie promotion at that time. This was in Fargo, North Dakota. I was doing marketing stuff. She, of course, was working the show. And over that weekend, I got to spend a lot of time with her and got to talk to her a lot about like her life. I believe she was in Louisiana at the time. Got to talk to her about her life. She told me stuff like she played bingo in her downtime.
Oh.
She talked about stuff like that. Her back was really bothering her. And if you saw the Dark Side episode, they talked about that a bit. Her back was bothering her to the point that when the show was going on and all the wrestlers were sitting on benches, she couldn't sit on a bench. So she sat in the back of the car. And I saw her sitting by herself in the back of the car. So I went and sat with her. We ended up spending a couple hours just shooting the shit in the back of the car. And then that night, she invited everybody to her hotel room. We all hung out there for the night. I knew she had some addiction issues and somebody stocked her bathtub with beer. And I remember thinking to myself, that's probably not a great idea, but she was the coolest. You know how sometimes, John, I was going to call you Joel. You know how sometimes you meet people that you grew up watching and when you meet them, sometimes you end up disappointed.
Of course.
She was the complete opposite. I went in not knowing what to expect because I had never really heard anything about her except for what I saw on television. She was the coolest, sweetest human being. She didn't take any shit from anybody. I have nothing but positive experiences about the time that I got to spend with her. I was sad when I heard that she passed away. And I had heard, as they said on the Dark Side documentary, I had heard that not a lot of wrestlers went to the funeral. And I was sad to hear about that too. She was the coolest. And my experience was nothing but positive. And so I saw that Dark Side episode and I wanted to talk about my personal experience with Sherri Martel.
Yeah, and I think that's an amazing story that, I mean, just how many times do people get those interactions? It's very few and far between, so great tribute to her there. She always seemed super sweet, and all the stories I hear about her was that she was a very genuine person, and that's...
She was, and she taught me a lesson.
Yeah? Why don't you teach?
So the day that I met her, I was in the hotel, and all the wrestlers were arriving at the hotel, and I'm walking down the hallway, and the elevator door opens, and there's Sherri Martel coming off the elevator. So I introduced myself and she said, you mind helping me get my bags to my hotel room? So I did. I helped her get her bags to her hotel room and we're shooting the shit for a bit in her hotel room. She liked the fact I was Canadian and she thought that was a gimmick.
Okay.
so we were shooting the shit. And then, you know how sometimes you say something and instantly you feel stupid?
The time, every day.
I said to her, I can't believe I'm hanging out in Sherri Martel's hotel room. And as soon as I said it,
yeah, out of context, it sounds, yeah.
Well, not because of that. I just felt like a mark. Like I felt like an idiot. She didn't skip a beat. She said, and I could tell she's probably dealt with it before. She said, "You and I are colleagues. We're coworkers. We're working for the same promoter." And she said, "When I go home, I'm going to pay my bills just like you." She said, "We're colleagues. We're on the same level."
That's
and
awesome.
That is the last time that I ever was starstruck ever.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've dealt with a ton of pro wrestlers. I have never been starstruck ever again, ever since Sherri Martel said that.
I mean, I've interviewed Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. I mean, you encounter all these larger than life people and you really do recognize that most of them, for the most part, they're just doing their job.
That's right.
Their job is different than your job, but the idea of doing the job is the same as yours. So
yes, I agree. Has him in the public eye, right?
Right, right. And right. Very unique situation. I want to remind everyone, get your super chats in. We'll answer some questions on air and talk about some good stuff. I mean, this one I got to address this off the top from Van Twinblade. Thanks for the super chat. Time for Alba to answer the most important question ever. How do you do your steak? Gas, grill, charcoal, skillet, broiler, seasoning, salt and pepper, other things. So, Jimmy, I'm not sure how familiar you are with this, but...
Absolutely. You and I talked about the Wagyu you like to post.
We did, yes. Yeah. I'm very in the weeds of steak culture right now. Once I turned into my 30s.
Is that what they call it? Thing.
Steak culture, sure. And there are... The beauty of YouTube is that there are so many amazing chefs on YouTube that you can learn so much from. Mm-hmm. And I really have. And I do a lot of different steaks. I think Costco steaks are some of the best out there that they have for your bang for your buck.
Really?
In terms of quality. Absolutely. 100%. But I'll cook stuff, you know, on the grill. I'll do all that stuff. But for me, the best steak that you're going to have is a sous vide steak. Have you ever tried sous vide?
I'm not sure.
Familiar with sous vide? So no. sous vide is, it's a device that you put in.
I know you're talking about now.
Yeah. You put it in a tub, a pot, whatever it is. It's a water circulator that regulates temperature. And you take your food, whatever you're cooking. If it's a steak, you season the steak ahead of time. I do salt, pepper, garlic minimum. Sometimes I do some hot honey seasoning on mine because I really think that adds a little kick to it. You vacuum seal it in a bag, and then you put it in the water that is at a certain temperature. So say you like medium rare, like a normal person, like a real actual functioning human being would. I put mine to like 129.5, 130 degrees Fahrenheit, somewhere around there. And it cooks in there for about 2 hours, 215 or so. And the beauty of the sous vide is it keeps it at a regulated temperature. So the steak will never cook past 129, 130, whatever it is. You take it out, you pat it dry, and then you do a quick 45 second to a minute sear on both sides to, you know, get the crust that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, it is the best steak you're ever going to have. Really? It is unbelievable. I cannot recommend sous vide enough to people, but minimum salt, pepper, garlic powder. I like to do some hot honey that adds a little extra something to it. It's so freaking good, man. So good. So
maybe I'll look into it. We usually sear in a pan and then do in the oven. Usually.
Oh, the reverse sear. Sure.
Yeah. And it usually comes up pretty well.
Well, the reverse sear, actually, you would put it in the oven first, cook it to like 120 or something, and then sear it to finish it. But that way of how you're doing it, like in a cast iron and searing it and then right. putting it, that works perfectly too.
Yeah.
We're all about steak innovation here on the Hump. another one from Crispy Chris. Random question for you both. If you could interview one person from wrestling past or present for 10 minutes, who would it be and why? It's a good one.
Past or present for 10 minutes. That's a tough question. I think I would say Vince Sr.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, okay. So I'm going to add to his question. If you could interview them, but then they knew about, where things are currently, I would love to ask Vince McMahon Sr. Not about the Vince Jr. allegations and the sexual assault and all that stuff. I would like to ask him about, what do you think about your son told you he wasn't going to go national?
Yep.
And Vince Sr. allegedly told him, you know, the other promoters, you're going to be at the bottom of a river if you do it. So I'd like to ask him, what do you think? He went national and now look what it is. And I remember when Vince McMahon, you know, he didn't like the word wrestling, right? Junior, he doesn't like the word wrestling. And I saw him when he did an interview with Austin. Austin said wrestling and Vince got mad and he said, that's what my dad did. So I would love to ask Sr. stuff about that. I'd be very curious. Mm.
And there's that famous story that Jim Ross has told that he was in the bathroom and he heard all the other promoters trying to come up with a conspiracy to kill Vince and Vince Jr. Yep. So you're absolutely right about the bottom of the river comment there. That mm-hmm. it seemed like that was something that was valuable. For me, man, any person from the past, that is a tough, tough, tough
one. It is. So there's so many legends.
There are so many legends. I would probably go with I really feel like we were robbed of a true introspective on Owen Hart. I think Owen would have been, and I know Owen wanted to retire at a very young age, yep. but Owen would have been a contributor to today's wrestling scene. I have no doubt about that in my mind.
He was.
He still is. People sure. still draw so much from Owen.
Sure.
So I'm saying I think he would have actively been involved still in some role, and I would have loved to have picked his brain on how product has evolved and ring work and all this. I mean, there's so much of Owen's work in so many of today's guys.
Absolutely.
It's really incredible.
I see a lot of him in Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson, 100%. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let us know. Shoot us a super chat, guys. Who would you guys like to interview? I'd love to hear that. So, Jimmy, we got a lot of big stories to get to on this edition of The Hump. I do want to throw this one because this one wasn't listed on us, but it's definitely worth talking about. Matt, throw it our way. The big news we had over the weekend, Drew McIntyre staying with WWE. Drew's Character work has been phenomenal. Glad he's staying, he says. I think this is a huge, huge, huge re-signing for WWE. Hardy and I just taped an episode this week of The Extreme Life about Drew McIntyre, and we both agreed that he might be the most well-rounded performer in the world right now when you take character into the equation. What do you think of Drew re-signing there?
I think it was fully expected. I think that they wouldn't be having him prominently featured on television if they didn't expect that he was going to resign. What I found interesting about it was how the news broke. I found it interesting that of all people, it was The Rock that announced the re-signing of Drew McIntyre. And I think that kind of says a lot about where The Rock is at when it comes to pro wrestling and WWE. And we'll talk about more about The Rock later, because I want to ask you about some news that came out about The Rock. But I thought it was interesting. He's the one that announced it. McIntyre, you know what? He's one of these guys who I didn't know he had it in him when it came to the character side, because he was always a bit of a low-key guy. You know, great look, great in the ring, but he was always a bit of a low-key, almost quiet kind of guy. And to see him, I think he's the most interesting character in wrestling right now.
Easily.
And I don't know if I ever thought I'd say that about Drew McIntyre, but I think he's been knocking it out of the park. I think that he's very quick-witted, you know, like, and as a matter of fact, do you remember the promo that he did with Punk? I think it was prior to Mania, where it got really heated.
Of course.
And I think McIntyre was on the table outside and Punk was in the ring. I think I was talking to Sean about that. And I said, McIntyre legitimately rattled Punk.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You can see it, right? Yeah. And I don't know if I ever would have predicted that Drew McIntyre would get the best of CM Punk on the mic, but he did.
He's so, very good on his feet. He's very in the know. He has a great social read. He understands what people are talking about. And he's not afraid to lean into that. Right. And that has led to a lot of success for him. And you got to give credit where it's due. That eventual McIntyre Punk match, whenever that happens, if it's SummerSlam or whenever it goes down, that match could main event alone with no titles involved or anything. The 100%. Intrigue is going to be there.
Yeah, 100%. You know, what's weird is for some reason, I'm nervous for Punk. Because I feel like Punk's been injury prone since he came back, if you include the AEW run. And Drew McIntyre is a pretty hard-hitting, physical type of wrestler and a big guy. I'm nervous for Punk. I feel like Punk's going to get in there and get hurt. And it's a shitty thing to think about. But like that right now is the most interesting story in all of wrestling for me.
It's funny you said that about Punk getting hurt. I was thinking about this today. I would not be surprised, and I think it would be a good idea, if in Punk's comeback to the ring, he has some closed PC matches in full. I'm not talking about just like running the ropes and doing some stuff. I'm saying have a couple matches to a closed audience in the PC and actually get yourself fully ready, because man, I mean, this guy has lost basically a year and a half of his career to injuries over the last few years.
Yep, it's true. I mean, he did do the matches with Dom before the Rumble, but with all due respect to Dominic Mysterio, he's not Drew McIntyre. So I'm curious. I mean, Punk looked good on Raw. Thought he looked really good. Didn't have the brace on.
No. And, so. and the fact, and this is a big shout out to them, because they have kept him incorporated on the TV show while he's been hurt. And that's not an easy thing to do.
For sure. For sure. And he's fit right in. And the storyline has progressed really interestingly. And it is true right now. I mean, when you look at what Damian Priest is doing with the world title, what Cody's doing with the WWE title, Punk McIntyre is the most interesting thing on the show. Easy. And now when Roman comes back, that might change things, because they're going in an interesting direction with that. But Punk McIntyre has been great. It's been really entertaining.
It's funny, because we all thought Punk Rollins was going to be the big match coming back in, and how quickly that shifted. Whoever had the foresight to realize we should lean into this, kudos to them. Whether it was
Rollins getting hurt helped the situation.
That's what I'm saying. Like when Punk got hurt, from it. And McIntyre was the one who immediately went to social with it. So someone realized there was money to be made on that. And that is certainly something that benefits all of them in that sense. Where do you want to start here, Jimmy? I mean, we're talking some WWE stuff right now, but I know there's a lot of different things on your mind. Where are you feeling?
I think we should go with the Tony Khan angle.
Let's do it.
I think that's a big place to start. That's getting a lot of attention right now. So, you know, the angle happens last week, and immediately I saw people online shitting all over it, of course, because maybe they don't like Tony Khan, or a lot of people, because I actually said on Twitter, I don't see what the issue is, because I don't. Like, this isn't the first time a wrestling executive has done this. You know, yeah, you had McMahon. He took the stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Eric Bischoff got attacked by Hall and Nash, gets powerbombed off the stage. If you want to go back to the 80s, Fritz Von Erich, after he retired, was doing angles, and Bill Wass was doing angles. And more recently, Dixie Carter was getting powerbombed by the Dudleys. I had no issue with it. I think a lot of people, the reason they didn't like it, aside from the fact that they are anti-AEW, is Tony Khan had said, well, I'm never going to be a character on television. I think things, times change. Times change. They say never say never in wrestling. I had no issue with the fact he did it. I do see positives and negatives to it, and I want to get your thoughts on both.
Sure.
And we'll start with the negative. It's a potential negative. So if you could think back to last year when Punk got fired and Tony Khan chose to go on television, he went on AEW Collision, and he addressed the incident. He said that he terminated Punk for cause. He said it stemmed from the backstage incident at All In. He said it endangered people backstage. He said he felt his security, his safety, and his life was in danger. And so he had to make a difficult choice. He didn't say all that in a press release. He said it on his fictional entertainment television show. That means that you are now incorporating that into your fictional television show. Fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, they air the backstage incident from All In on TV. By and large, the reaction at the time was negative for AEW because there was backlash over it. And I think a lot of that was because the incident did not appear to be as severe or as dangerous as it had been made out to be. And Tony Khan, I think, recognized the backlash because he did a lot of PR after that, kind of putting a spin on it, saying, oh, it was part of the story. It was part of the story kind of thing. But anyway, so now you have that incident also incorporated into your fictional television show. Takes us to last week. Tony Khan gets hit in the gut by Jack Perry, takes a pile driver from the Young Bucks. So now in storyline, John, you got to fire them, right? Because he fired Punk for way less. You got to fire them. And so I'm curious from a storyline perspective where they're going to go, because if they try to use the whole...
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active, well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
EVP thing? That doesn't work for me, brother. Especially when Matt Jackson last week on television looked into the camera and said, Tony Khan's the best boss I've ever had. So they acknowledge that Tony Khan is their boss.
Yeah.
So if they don't fire them, I hope they got a really good reason. Now they've hinted, or Tony has hinted, that there's going to be an authority figure at Dynamite tonight. All signs point to it being Kenny Omega, because number one, they're going to be in Winnipeg. He's got history with the Bucks and he's an EVP. So it looks like it might be him. But this, for me, is where I'm curious where it's going to go, because, again, they brought the Punk thing into storyline. It really didn't look like it was that serious. Punk got fired for that. These guys just gave you a spike pile driver in the middle of the ring. How do they not fire them? What do you think?
Yeah. On the authority figure front, Kenny makes the most sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a red herring. I would not be surprised here.
What about the learning tree? Want him to be the person? No, he's getting a lot of hate now for Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even for that reason. I just that would make I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sting. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sting at all. It makes a lot of sense with his connection to the Bucks in the last match, and you know how he talks about how AEW changed his life, and you know his team AEW and all that. I wouldn't be surprised, but I would tend to think that Kenny is probably the guy that it ultimately ends up being. And listen, predictable is not always bad as long as you make it make sense. You know,
I agree.
So I don't really have an issue either way with that. You know, here's what I'll say about the angle, Jimmy. Like, the angle was a very entertaining angle for me. I thought it was a very entertaining angle. When Tony came out looking like Smiley McGee, I was like, this guy is about to take something. It's about to happen. And you know, no matter what, that Tony Khan has waited 40 years of his life for that moment. He has waited to take that first bump. And I think it is laying the groundwork for a potentially very interesting hostile takeover angle with AEW, which those types of angles, regardless of the ones that have been successful or unsuccessful in the past, they always draw intrigue and they always draw interest. And we've seen it countless times in WWE over the year. We've seen it years. We've seen it in WCW, obviously, with the NWO. I think it is a good angle to try to draw some intrigue with. As far as the logic hole in what you're saying, you know, that does exist, and that's a fair point. We had I did the Dynamite post show here on Fightful, and I'll be doing it again tonight, by the way. I did it last week, and we had a super chat come in that suggested that with Double or Nothing coming up, that Tony Khan puts control of AEW up for you know, grabs here at Double or Nothing to feed into that, with maybe the idea being that if the Bucks lose, they lose their EVP slot or something like that. Even though obviously, well, I was just going to say, obviously, as you said, he could just fire them in theory.
Now, you know, sometimes all you have to do is a simple explanation. And we say this for WWE too. All they got to do is say, I could easily fire you, but I want to punish you.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an easy thing to do, but they got to do something because, again, you brought the Punk thing now into story. You fired him for in story a lot less. So they got to do something. But I did see a lot of positives to this too. And I want to talk about the positives because, again, sometimes people say, oh, you hate AEW. And sometimes they say, oh, all you do is put over AEW. There's positives to it. The first thing is I really applaud them thinking outside the box and trying something new because the show, as it's been presented, has not been working. I mean, let's be honest, right? They have been losing fan popularity. They need something to help them try to not just maintain their audience, but grow their audience. And so I think why not try something different, right? The ratings have been down. Live event attendance has been down. Those free agents have not yet moved the needle. I applaud them for trying something different. More so than that, I thought the timing was very smart.
Yeah.
Because they had the NFL draft right after. And there's Tony Khan in the war room with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's got the neck brace on. If he wasn't wearing that neck brace, he wouldn't have gotten any attention. But with the neck brace on, he got a ton of attention. And he did a ton of interviews. I saw like Rich Eisen and TMZ and NFL Network. And they even showed AEW footage when they interviewed him on NFL Network. So he got a lot of publicity
and
that
that's
he wouldn't
the
have.
The mainstream crossover that AEW so badly needs, right?
Yes.
Like, and that's huge. And this is the NFL draft. This is one of the most watched events of the year for American sports fans. So it's huge publicity.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Now, I do think, and I've talked about this before with Tony Khan, sometimes he needs to get out of his own way because the Harvey Weinstein comment, I don't think did him any favors at all. But he did get a lot of publicity. And so I see positives to the angle in that respect. What are your thoughts in terms of the positives of the angle? You've already kind of alluded to it.
Yeah, no, listen, I think Jack Perry's going to get really over with this. I think he is. The little sly look that he does, I think people are going to start to buy into that. I thought the new elite played their roles fantastically in this segment. And I'm a big proponent of what they're doing with these elite characters. I think the EVP stuff is really fun. I think Okada, a lot of people were probably down on the idea of him coming in as a big heel, but I think he's great for that role. I think he looks like $1 million and plays into it perfectly as well. I think it's just all about, I know I keep saying, I think, but that's so much of this hinges on the uncertainty, right? And it hinges on the follow-up. What is the grand plan here? Because if you have this opportunity to go all in on these heels who are controlling the TV show, the show should take on a slightly different look with them running the show. They should blatantly play favoritism towards their people and shape AEW in the way that they view it. And then hopefully, Jimmy, the idea here is whether it's a blood and guts match or a double or nothing match, whatever, you have a chance to position four or five baby faces and elevate them as Team AEW standing up for what's right. And if that's the payoff you get out of this, where you're elevating some baby faces, whenever that payoff comes, that's the true litmus test on how successful this angle and storyline will be.
And that was going to be my next point. My next point was going to be, how do you think that this angle is going to be received by wrestling fans? And I don't just mean the AEW hardcore fan base, because they like everything AEW does. I'm talking about new fans, casual fans, lapsed fans. Because when you think about some of the angles that has been compared to in terms of the wrestling executive getting involved, Hall and Nash, when they attacked Bischoff, you're talking two larger-than-life guys supposedly invading WCW on behalf of WWE. It was a very easy thing to invest in emotionally. Stone Cold Steve Austin, great character, great finish, and the story was he gets to beat up his boss. Very easy to invest in emotionally. So the question is, will this story captivate an audience enough that fans are going to invest emotionally into the Young Bucks and Jack Perry? And will the fans care enough about the cavalry arriving to defend Tony Khan and to fight the Elite? Because Tony Khan, you know, he's not a great performer. Like I said, he doesn't always do himself favors in media interviews. Will the viewer invest into him as a babyface if he remains on TV as a character? That's what I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, and that's why I think it would be a good idea to put an authority figure in his place. You know, I don't think it should be Tony-centric.
Right.
If we're looking to keep him as a babyface here. But having a babyface authority figure who stands up for what AEW should be about would get that point across perfectly.
Right.
And I think that that would be good. Honestly, I don't hate the idea of starting the angle by doing some double or nothing type match where you're putting a lot on the line, you know, the colloquial, going all in, double or nothing. And then that could be paid off at all in down the line too, if you really want to do some full circle storytelling. It's just all about knowing how, when, and where to place your bets. And we've got a place over here on Fightful that can help you do the same.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Interesting one here from Heavy Metal Chris. My suggestion for an authority figure would be Scott D'Amore. Just makes total sense to me. So I'd love your thoughts on that, Jimmy, because I could go two ways with that one. What are your thoughts?
No, I see no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say why I see no chance, but I see no chance. I actually think Sting makes a lot of sense. I still think Omega, because of the Bucks connection, although your point about Sting with the Bucks connection too is good, but because of Omega's Bucks connection and because he's an EVP, I feel like they're going to go with him. D'Amore, no chance. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and the thing with D'Amore too, it's like he doesn't have a connection to AEW, and someone who should be in that big baby face authority figure position needs to bleed AEW. And that's why I think Sting would be such a great fit. And Sting doesn't have to wrestle. He could still have a couple fun spots where he helps the baby faces beat someone down with a bat or something, you know.
Sure.
There's a lot of opportunities. And Sting makes it not just better than, but also different than. And I think that would help elevate it.
One thing I'm curious about, would Sting want to be back traveling? Even though they only do a show once or twice a week, would he want to be doing that? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if it's something you have to be having him on TV for every week either. You know, I mean, we'll see what the intensity of the angle ultimately looks like. It might not be Sting at all. Sting might have nothing to do with this.
Yeah, yeah.
It could very easily be Kenny, or it could be someone that we're not even thinking about. Let us know who you guys think. We'd love to hear your suggestions on that.
That's actually a good question for people. Who do you think could be the authority figure? Send in a super chat with your opinion.
Yeah. Another AEW centric topic I want to hit on here. This from KE775. If Warner Brothers Discovery does indeed lose the NBA rights to NBCU, how do you think that affects AEW and or WWE moving forward? Now, of course, Jimmy, this story coming off the heels of the report that NBC Universal may go upwards of $2.5 billion a year for their NBA rights bid that Warner Brothers Discovery would have a chance to match, as has been reported. But man, $2.5 billion a year, and that's not even for majority rights. That's for partial rights to the NBA. So we talked a little bit about it last week, Jimmy, about how maybe if the NBA left Warner Brothers Discovery, it might not be the best thing for AEW. After this report, what are your thoughts?
It's funny how you and I last week, one of the things that I talked about was carriage fees. And I saw Meltzer mention carriage fees the other day. It could go one of two ways. Because on the one hand, so if people don't understand what carriage fees are, that means that the cable distributor has to pay the network basically a licensing fee. They call it a carriage fee. And Warner Brothers Discovery has been able to make a premium because of the NBA rights. So on the one hand, if they lose the NBA rights, they probably, I don't know how their contracts work with the cable distributor, but they probably can't score that same premium, you would think, if they don't have the NBA, because people aren't going to be seeking out the channel. That means less money for AEW in theory. But then on the other hand, now maybe you need them more, because what else do they have that ranks highly in the ratings? I know the show that the lead in for Dynamite, Big Bang Theory. It does well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they have a ton of stuff that is highly ranked. And so maybe you need AEW more. I could see it going either way, honestly. What do you think?
I think ad rate revenue is also a really big piece of this. If you lose the NBA, that substantially as a network devalues your ad rate that you could pull in.
Sure, for sure, 100%.
And that's massive because it's one of the reasons why no matter how great AEW could be, even the NHL has higher ad rate value to Warner Brothers Discovery, because advertisers just historically are not as prone to investing big in pro wrestling.
Right.
Look at the reason Fox gave for pulling out of the SmackDown deal.
Yep. As
they just felt they couldn't sell it at the same rate that they could sell other things.
And that's when it was number one sometimes on mm-hmm. Fridays and sometimes the whole week.
Yeah. So it really does not have as much to do with ratings and viewership as much as it does the ad rate. So if you were to lose the NBA as a Warner Bros. Discovery property, what does that mean? Now, the one thing that AEW does have going in its favor in that front is AEW's flagship show is on TBS and not on TNT. And the NBA does not have representation on TBS. So I don't know how directly that would have an impact of sorts, but man, $2.5 billion a year, mm-hmm. a year.
By the way, have you noticed that they're continuing to throw Rampage on the end of other shows?
Yeah,
they've been doing it a lot. Yep, they did it last week too on Collision.
For those who are tuning in to the Dynamite review show tonight, we will be doing it after Dynamite, and we'll be giving updates on Rampage throughout the course of the show. So you can tune in around 10:10. That's 10:10 Eastern, rather. That's when we will be live on that. It'll be Alex and I. But yeah, man, we talked about that last week too. The idea of testing out 3 hours and what that could mean.
It's definitely happening. I mean, come on, they're doing it almost every week now.
Yeah.
So I think they're preconditioning the audience. And so anybody in this chat or watching this, if you don't like 3 hours of Raw because you think it's too long, get ready, because AEW is going 3 hours on their next deal. I would put money on it.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
They're doing it way too often. That can't be by accident.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it's due to the preemptions right now too, to the NBA playoffs. But I mean, they know
when Rampage can get its best lead in, and that's when it can get its best lead in.
Parker Hines saying MJF authority figure thoughts.
I don't know his condition. He had, I could be wrong, but
sounds like he had surgery.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. So due to that, he just might not be available. I still think Omega or Sting both make sense.
Yeah. I've talked myself into the idea of Sting being the authority figure. So I'm kind of hoping that. And thanks to Meat Normus says, here's a small sack of monies for meat talk. The Costco meat section is my happy place. Tonight's meat match is Claudio versus Brian Cage. That's a lot of meat right there. No doubt about that. Oh my goodness. And one more to finish off our conversation from earlier too. DNC Digital, what feud from the 80s, 90s would you like to see get the amazing match promo video treatment we get today.
What feud from the 80s and 90s? So these might not be popular depending on who you ask. I loved Savage Steamboat. I was only like 10, and I have a vivid memory of calling a friend on the phone and saying, Ricky Steamboat's going to have to retire. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Because of his throat?
Yep. As soon as it happened on Superstars, when Savage hit him with the bell, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. That to me was a great story. And the other one, which I loved, I still think it's one of the best wrestling stories ever, is Hogan Savage.
I was just about to say the Mega Powers.
Amazing. Go. You know what I love about wrestling angles is when they take the time to throw in subtle little tidbits, little Easter eggs over a period of time. And that one, when Savage won the title, and anybody's a newer fan and you don't know what that I'm talking about, go back and look. When Randy Savage won the title at WrestleMania 4, and they had just kind of gotten together as a team, they planted the first seed right there with the way Hogan was interacting with Elizabeth. And then over the course of the next year, they just added to it and added to it and added to it. And when the time came for Savage to cut his promos about what an asshole Hulk Hogan was, you kind of sided with him a little bit, even though he was the bad guy. That was a great storyline. And so, that's another one that deserves the,
I think the best pieces of storytelling, let alone wrestling storytelling, is when you reward the audience for paying attention.
Yes.
That's really what it boils down to, leading those little breadcrumbs.
I feel like we're heading there with Cody Rock, Roman.
Oh, 100%. I mean, because the whole Bloodline storyline's been about that.
Yep. Yep. You know? All the little things, like even Rock, when he'd put up the finger and then he would go like this, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like all of that is going to play into this when the time comes. And Solo talking about the tribal chief to Paul Heyman, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about The Rock.
Yeah, I think that's very, very possible, 100%. Yep. I mean, even the main event of WrestleMania was built on breadcrumbs. So
Yes, I agree.
That's how all that went down. Good question there, ET Digital. I agree the Mega Powers would totally be mine on that front. Why don't we transition over to WWE here now? You're talking about The Rock. There was a big report about The Rock this week on the Hollywood front.
It seems over the last year or so, all he gets is negative press, it feels like. I mean, first there was the whole Black Adam thing, and I'm not a comic book guy, but I saw a lot of people were crapping on him because he wanted Black Adam to be done a certain way, and then the film wasn't a success, and he tried to spin it like it was.
Well, so it was more so, there was that, the box office report you're talking about. Yeah, but it was more so, you know, DC Studios was kind of in flux and he was trying to leverage it so that he would take over DC Studios and make Black Adam and Superman like the crux of it. And that did not happen at all. And James Gunn ended up taking it over and The Rock got a lot of negative press from essentially what people alleged was trying to do a hostile takeover of the studios, more or less.
Yeah. I read something about how he was supposed to do a cameo in Shazam.
Yeah, and he didn't want to work with Shazam.
He didn't want to do it. He wanted to do his own vehicle. So, so this article in therap.com is from a writer named Umberto Gonzalez. I call it a hit piece. That's what it felt like to me. There's all kinds of allegations in it. He alleges that The Rock was late an average of 7 to 8 hours a day on the set of Renwood, which is the holiday movie that he did with Amazon. It alleges that he was routinely late on other productions, including Red Notice, which he did for Netflix. And they alleged that it actually led to an altercation with Ryan Reynolds, who was frustrated about him being late all the time. They mentioned that he was 2 hours late for the WWE World appearance during WrestleMania. They alleged that he would use production money for personal projects like the XFL or his tequila brand, Terramana. They even alleged that he would pee in water bottles to save time. And I joked on Twitter, I've been to a lot of indie shows and I've dealt with a lot of old school wrestlers. I've seen a lot of them pee in water bottles backstage. And so I joked on Twitter, maybe that's another thing you picked up from pro wrestling, the peeing in the water bottle. I'll give my opinion on this article, or what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think hit piece is definitely the right term. Now, that's not to say that a lot of this stuff couldn't be true. It very well could be true. I mean, 7 to 8 hours on set being late. I mean, that's you're making people work double shifts in that.
Now, his team denies that, by the way.
And as to WWE, for the record, WWE. Right. Chris LaGentle was quoted in the piece and denying part of it. Now, the WWE World thing is interesting because I was around that day. I didn't go to the event, but I was in Philly for WrestleMania. And I believe that was the Friday, which is when Hardy and I were doing two live shows that day. And I can confirm that there was historically bad traffic getting into the city around that time. There was, I think there were a couple bad accidents that backed things up horribly into the city. And then you add in the influx of 150,000 plus people who were there for WrestleMania and wrestling, that made it a lot worse. And I, when they said he was late due to traffic, I fully believe that.
2 hours?
Dude, it was like, so to get from the middle of the city to the outskirts, like crossing over where the bridge would have been, that should normally be about 15 minutes. It was an hour plus trying to get in.
Really?
So if he was running a little late and then you compound that with traffic, very easily could have been 2 hours late. I would not be surprised by that
at all.
And I'm not saying that that's for sure what happened. He might as just decided, I don't want to go there. I don't know. But it is so fascinating. I brought this up to my Patreon subscribers the other day, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com, that all it took was this DC thing to happen. And now people in Hollywood are starting to feel more empowered to taking shots at The Rock. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off. So I use my wife a lot as a gauge for what is working, what's not working, because she's a casual wrestling fan. She doesn't follow it nearly the way I do. She used to follow The Rock on social media, love The Rock. And she told me without me even asking her a while back that she no longer followed him on social media. And I said, what's the reason? What's the reason that you are following him on social media? She said, whenever he does anything nice, he's always got a camera there.
That's what she said. 100%.
And so I don't know. So here's my thoughts on this article. And I'm going to use a couple of personal stories to kind of explain my point.
Sure.
Years ago, I worked for a major.com and they had a content team who would regularly update a top 10 list of public figures that they kept on a wall. And that top 10 list represented the most trafficked stories on the website. And so when they would come out with new content, they would focus on those public figures because they wanted to maximize their traffic. Right. Now, add to that, I don't know if you remember this, several years ago, Forbes magazine, they put Kylie Jenner on the cover and they claimed that she was a self-made billionaire. Now, they ended up retracting that later, saying she wasn't, in fact, a self-made billionaire or a billionaire at all. But when that cover came out, it irritated a guy like me who you know, has been in business for myself for many years, because with all due respect to Kylie Jenner, she was born into television. She's been given every opportunity.
Sure.
I had to bust my butt for everything I have. But then I realized Forbes magazine's goal was to get attention and sell magazines.
Yep.
That was their goal. The Rap.com, look at The Rock, the most followed American male on social media. Negative content always gets more attention than positive content. And for The Rap, page views, clicks, follows mean everything to them. They have a paid subscription service too. So I feel like this piece was done to get attention. And it was done for the views and the follows and all that kind of stuff. All of their sources were anonymous. They did not name one source.
I was just going to say, the people who were on the record in the piece all disputed it.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Because all of their sources were anonymous, and I don't put weight on anything. You know, without mentioning names, there was someone a while back that put a lot of allegations out about Chris Jericho. And I didn't think anything of it because nobody on record came to the defense or said that this was true. So for me, it's allegations still that happens. I look at the stuff with The Rock the same way. And like you said, it could be true.
Sure.
But the sources are all anonymous. And so to me, it's nothing more than a hit piece designed to get attention for The Rap, to get them views, to get them clicks. And that's how I look at it.
Yeah. And listen, I'm someone who has used, I don't like saying anonymous sources, but I use the term protected sources, because a lot of times you have to offer that protection and reporting in order to obtain information. At, again, not to say that this stuff isn't true. It very possibly could be true.
Right.
But it does say something that a lot of people were willing to go on the record with their names to dispute it too. There is value in that. And I will say this, Jimmy, that is the last part of my point that I was going to bring up. I don't think it's coincidental that The Rock decided now is a good time to come back to WWE.
It's funny you say that, because I've talked to Sean about this before. I think every time he's come back to WWE, it's been intentional. I think every time he's come back to WWE, either him or his team have recognized, I kind of got to reset and tap back into my audience a little bit. And so I fully agree with you. And as a matter of fact, I never would have thought, because he does have a certain standing now in the world and in entertainment, I never thought that he would go heel. Because I thought for him, his ego wouldn't allow it. Yeah. And I respect, I guess, that he decided to go in that direction. Oh, I'm sure 30 million in stock doesn't hurt.
I think this run that he had just recently was one of his strongest runs he's had in a very, very long time. And part of it, you could tell he was really enjoying it too. He was having a good time. Yeah. Going back, tapping back into that 1998 rock just a little bit there. Like, that definitely stuck with him. And it's also fascinating that these movies, too, that we're talking about a $250 million budget for what is an Amazon movie, right?
Yeah, but they want a theatrical release. But yeah.
Right. So, but again, like, just the way that the scene is changing here, and like the fact that there's that much money in a streaming studio. I mean, it goes to show you that, like, everything is changing in the spectrum, and if Rock's even going to be attached to that, that's quite a statement in and of itself. And
it was his production studio, $7,
right? Exactly. And you know, if you want to stream those movies wherever you want, well, we got a way to help you do that.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Any other thoughts on the Rock front there?
No, not really. I think we should get to a couple of super chats, and then after that, I'll go to the next topic.
Sure thing. We got this one from Mr. Acosta. I think Swerve deserves to be champ, but I feel like it would have been better earlier because he's not the biggest star on the roster right now. Thoughts?
I think you go with momentum, and he had a lot of momentum coming out of the Hangman program. I had no issue with it. Now, I did think it was a head scratcher that he won the title. And then the first Dynamite after he won the title, he was in the second segment on the show in a nothing match. That was a head scratcher. Now, I will say, Collision last week, they had the great lead in from basketball. And because they had the great lead in, they did massive numbers the first quarter, and Swerve was in that first quarter. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that was by design. 100%. Now, I don't know if Tony did that because he saw the heat from, why the hell did you have your champion in the second quarter in a nothing match? So maybe he felt like shit, you know, or maybe the whole time he had it planned out. We're going to have this great lead in. We're going to put our champion in the first segment right after the lead in. Either way, I thought that was a great thing for Swerve. But no, I think that you got to go with momentum sometimes. You know what I mean?
And, yeah. I didn't have an issue with when he won it. I think if they waited longer, it would have been a big problem. But I think when he won it was the right time. And him beating Joe in the way he did, I think, was more effective than him winning it in that triple threat match at the previous pay-per-view. So I didn't have any issues with it, but I do agree with you on the TV side of things. And this one from Van Twinblade, Alba, you have 3 minutes to praise pro. I don't understand that super chat. If you'd like to clarify, Van Twinblade, please do. I'm not.
Pro?
Yeah, I don't understand what this question's asking. So.
Okay, we'll wait for him to comment on what the hell that is. And while he's doing that, I want to talk about this whole Vince McMahon, Nick Khan stock thing.
Yeah, what did you see the Pat McAfee clip that just dropped about an hour ago?
Oh, he's right and he's not right. He's right and he's not right. So last Friday, I think it was, I forget what the outlet was. They had this big headline on Twitter.
I think it was Spotrac.
Yeah, it might have been this big thing. It's officially over. All capitals. It's officially over. Vince McMahon sells the rest of his stock. He's officially out. As soon as I saw that, I thought that is the biggest clickbait piece of shit. Because Vince McMahon has not sold his stock. Nick Khan has not sold his stock. And for some reason, John, people thought that this news just came out like Friday. Mm-hmm. They listed their stock like 4 months ago or something, like September, October. So I don't understand where all this shit comes from. So what happened was Vince McMahon and Nick Khan,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this Pat McAfee, he's not going to see this, but if he does, there's an SEC filing where it says that they both listed their stock. So they listed them for sale. But the way it works in this world, when you're talking about a large volume, a large quantity, you can't just snap your fingers and boom, there's going to be $500 million worth of funds right there ready to go. It doesn't work like that. So they had listed their shares, but they hadn't yet sold them. And so this clickbaity bullshit about it's officially over, complete nonsense. Neither one of them have sold their shares, but both of them have listed them. And yeah. So we'll see where it goes. And there's been a lot of discourse about, oh, well, that's it. Nick Khan's out. Number one, I believe he still has 2 years left on his employment agreement from what I read. Number two, he's continuing to get shares, right? He's continuing to vest shares. So, and let's be honest, Hunter's in there because of the passion and the love of pro wrestling. And you think Nick Khan's got this gig because of his love for pro wrestling? He's got this gig to make money.
Yeah.
So I don't, I think it was a non-story, but the internet went wild again. So I felt like explaining that.
Yeah. I didn't make much of this at all, honestly. And like you said, when people were freaking out, like Vince is done, Vince, I was like, man, these, and also we've known that this was coming for a while. This was not something that was new. Plus, the sale had not been executed.
No,
it was.
It hasn't been. No.
So
no. That was along the way. He sold pieces.
Yeah.
But this last amount, I think it's something like 8 million shares.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just gonna open up your stock platform, and I feel like buying 8 million shares of TKO today. Like, good luck. It's, I don't know what their daily volume is because I don't check TKO enough. It sure as hell nowhere near that.
No, it's not. So, and on the Nick Khan front, you know, when McAfee was like, no, I've spoken to sources, it's not true. Well, no, it is true. Like there's documentation that it's true. Like,
it's, right. It's true that he hasn't sold them.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's true.
But that he listed them is 100% right. True.
Yes. Like,
that is undeniable. And I know we live in the world of alternative facts,
yeah,
but it is undeniably factually true.
Yes.
So it was very bizarre when he said that. Van Twinblade saying, praise Glory Pro. I have no clue what happened to that yet. I mean, Glory Pro's cool roster. I know they got a lot of events planned throughout the summer. I was looking at their schedule actually a couple days ago. Look, anything Ethan Page is involved with, I'm down with that. A big Ethan Page guy.
So, I'm under the knowing this. Why is he asking you to praise Glory Pro?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't okay. Know. I thought maybe you like did some shows or something.
No, I've never worked with Glory Pro.
Oh. But,
hey, okay. I'm about supporting indie wrestling any day of the week. That's always
there. You go.
Especially
if they don't have an athletic commission wherever they're located.
I would hope not. I've worked in indie wrestling for many years, so I'm happy to support whatever indie promotion there is. Speaking of, you know, opportunities for people, Jimmy, we got the WWE draft is finally come and gone. I thought Monday's presentation of the draft was way better than Friday's presentation of it, especially as far as the NXT stuff went, where I think that's some of the best stuff they've got going on. When they show the authentic reactions to the call-ups from NXT, I think that's really, really cool. Was surprised that we didn't see more WWE veterans go down to NXT, like maybe Natalya going down and working in NXT for a bit. But they did a real big reshuffling on Raw where they added a lot more work rate people per se on both the men and women's side. What do you think?
So the concept of the draft to me is always silly.
It is.
Because like number one, okay, so Mia Yim got drafted to SmackDown with the OC and then she was on NXT last night as we do this. So it's kind of silly. And then it's like CM Punk, what round did he go in? You know what I mean? Like, isn't he a moneymaker for you? It's a silly concept. I felt like the whole draft came off to me like Triple H felt, okay, it's time for a draft, but I like the rosters as they are. And so let's not move any of the people at the top. That's how it felt. Now, I know that there were a lot of moves in the supplemental draft because a lot of people on social media were like, well, that was dumb. They didn't move anybody. They did. Like, a lot of people moved in the supplemental draft, but the main talent stayed where they were. I don't know. I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura, I thought, was primed to go to NXT, and then they made a point of drafting him to SmackDown. Doesn't mean he's not going to be on NXT next week anyway. I think it's just a television gimmick. Let's just do something to try to generate interest in the show. And that's how I look at it. So otherwise, I didn't think too much of it.
Yeah. And on that front, thanks to Anakin JMT, thoughts on Taker's comments on the draft. The Undertaker, I'm not sure if you saw his comments, but he was not super impressed by the draft. And
in what regard?
I'll read this quote from his 6 feet under. He says, quote, "You know what it missed for me? I want to see more deals made right. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of teams, they want a quarterback. They trade up or they trade down. You know, that would, to me, be more compelling to watch. You're expecting your fan base to watch two nights of TV content. And I mean, to be completely honest, there wasn't a whole lot of change, really."
Yeah, at the top of the card, there wasn't. And again, like I said, I like to use my wife as a gauge. My wife and I were watching Raw, and she said, "Let me get this straight. They just moved the LWO, which is like seven people or something. And so when you add up the numbers, like, it's always kind of off. And then, like, Carlito just jumped the group, but they moved him with them because they want to keep continue the program.
They want to keep the story going, right?
So in order to keep the program going, let's move Carlito with the group. Like, there was holes all over it. But again, like I said,
and like they were taken before McIntyre and Punk.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it was just, the whole thing was just kind of silly in that regard, but whatever, it is what it is. I will say this, you know, Backlash is coming up this Saturday. They've got a 1 o'clock Eastern start time. I feel like there's no buzz on the show.
Yeah. Not a lot of buzz on the show. You know what? Part of it too. I mean, I'll say this. I thought Cody's first title defense should have been a really big deal. And nothing against AJ Styles. They'll have a really good match.
Yeah.
But there's been no heat on that program whatsoever. And no. I thought coming out of Mania, having him do a program with Randy Orton or someone of that caliber would have been much more intriguing than what we've gotten here.
I think it would have been better if he went into a program with someone who actually won at Mania. And yeah. I understand. Styles won a mini tournament or in the shot. I get it. But he got beat clean by LA Knight at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I feel like AJ Styles, with all due respect to him, he has no momentum. No one expects he's going to beat Cody. There's no buzz. There's only two things about Backlash that appeal to me or that I find interesting. The first is Jade Cargill. She's been working the house show circuit with the Kabuki Warriors. Her and Bianca have the title shot. I want to see what Jade can do. I've seen a few clips here and there where she's actually sold a little bit because everything on television has been a squash for her. So I saw the house show. She actually took some bumps and she sold a little bit. If you're going to, you know, work with somebody on the house shows, Asuka's not a bad pick.
Yeah.
So I want to see what she can do. And then I'm interested in Tiffany Stratton. This is probably the biggest match of her career. And I think she's going to crush it. And so I want to see how those situations pan out. I don't really care for Cody AJ. They haven't interested me. Damian Priest, Jey Uso, it just really hasn't sparked my interest as a wrestling fan. But that's just my take on it. And like you said, yeah, Cody and AJ, there's no story at all. I mean, AJ earned the title shot in a tournament. So by default now he's got the shot.
I've got no issue with that. Sometimes, and I say this when I talk about AEW all the time, sometimes a story can be built off the premise of, I want to prove I'm the better man. I want to win a championship. But my thought process was, we just had this big emotional blow off to Cody winning the championship. It almost feels a little underwhelming that his first true title defense is kind of just a thrown together match. It feels, right. It doesn't feel becoming of the story that got us to this point. And that's why I think it would have been amazing. You had this big babyface moment with all the babyfaces celebrating Cody, right? And then the next week on SmackDown, Randy Orton turns, you know, and lays out Cody. It was all ploy. Orton was totally cool with Cody winning because it meant he's got a chance now at the belt. And whether it's Orton or someone, I felt like it's a missed opportunity on that front.
I wonder if maybe they're this is almost like a throwaway and they're thinking ahead, because you think Cody, Randy would be SummerSlam worthy, right?
But here's the deal though. They're trying to treat all their pay-per-views, their premium live events, as this is the biggest show in the world right now.
Right.
You're not seeing a lot of throwaway shows from them. Yeah, you could say, well, this is a throwaway show, but it's not, because they're doing this in front of a big international audience in a major international city. So I'm a little surprised by how underwhelming the build to this pay-per-view has been, coming off such a hot WrestleMania.
Yes. And quite frankly, I forgot it was this Saturday.
Yeah.
Like I just happened to come across it, and it was like,
and it's great Saturday for Americans and North Americans, right? Like 1 o'clock on a Saturday. That's fantastic.
It's not great for me because that's in the middle of kid time. So I will not be able to watch it live, but for other people, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I'm already kind of looking ahead to SummerSlam because I expect Roman Reigns will be back by then, you know, Cody and McIntyre.
You got Money in the Bank coming your way up there.
That's right. And that's going to be like three solid nights. Yeah. In July. Yep. So by then I'm not going to be living in Toronto anymore. So maybe I will or won't come in for that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I heard Joel Pearl might be covering that for us. So,
okay, there you go. I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Anything else on your mind here, Jimmy, on this episode of The Hump as we begin to wrap things up?
No, I think we're good. I mean, it's 4 o'clock. You know, my Edmonton Oilers are looking to knock out the LA Knights tonight. The LA Kings tonight. So that should be interesting. And I thought it was kind of funny. So as we're doing this on May 1st, last night, which was April 30th, the Winnipeg Jets were eliminated by the Colorado Avalanche. It was in Winnipeg. The game was in Winnipeg. Chris Jericho was there because they're doing Dynamite in the same venue tonight. So Jericho was there. He was interviewed by Canadian television beforehand, and he's pumping up and the Jets are going to win 4-2, and then they got eliminated. I thought that was kind of funny.
Did he say they could have won with his guidance?
So the announcer, a guy by the name of Scott Oak, he must have been prepped, because he said something to Jericho about, is this coming from the learning tree? Something like that. And okay. Jericho was like, I think he said two names, the learning tree, or I forget the other one. And Jericho said, yes, this is from the learning tree, the learning tree. And the Jets got beat. So
there you go. One more super chat we just got in from Thomas. Why did Cody have such an issue with Tony Storm's press conference from Dynasty? Seemed like a funny bit to me.
Okay, here's my opinion, John Elba.
Okay.
Here's my opinion. Boy, this is going to go a little long. Here's my opinion.
Let's hear it.
So I have said for years that I believe when you are number one in any avenue, you should ignore number two. When you're number one, number two doesn't exist. You're number one, full speed ahead. When you're number two, I think that you should sometimes take shots at number one. And I think you should sometimes try to rattle them, and you should try to, you know, make some noise. The problem, in my opinion, is I think AEW's been doing it too often. And I'm not just talking like in a presser, like even on their television show. To me, the television show is always the gauge, right?
Sure.
Because that's what your audience is watching to get their entertainment. So whether it be airing the Punk footage, whether it be the Ospreay promo, whether it be, you know, even Tony Khan with the Harvey Weinstein comment, whatever, I feel like they've been taking a lot of shots. The Tony Storm one was in reference to Triple H getting in the ring to congratulate Cody Rhodes after he won the title. And so Tony saying to Tony Khan, don't worry, I'll never ask you to get in the ring with me, kind of thing. I don't know. I just think they're doing it too often. Now, I saw some people on Twitter say to me, well, WWE spent all of WrestleMania weekend taking shots at AEW. I don't know what they're talking about, honestly. Like, I know that McAfee said something about, you know, wrestling in front of 600 people. Hunter said the thing about, I don't want you if you don't want to work the grind. He didn't mention Ospreay, but people thought it was a shot at Ospreay. I can't think of anything else that they did, honestly. Maybe you can. But I feel like AEW has been taking a lot of shots, and I feel like if you do it just enough, it's cool. But when you do it too much, now it's desperation. And so they got to pull back the reins.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really... You know, here's the one thing. It's obviously much more personal for Cody due to his ties to AEW specifically.
But yeah, but he also, he's rooting for them by his own, in his own words.
Of course,
right?
He is. Course he is. You know, as far as like Toni Storm is concerned, all of her stuff is a bit, all of her stuff is a shtick. I don't really take anything she says seriously in character. But I'm not Cody Rhodes. So I don't know. Maybe there's more to it that we don't know about. Maybe there's some undertones that we're not publicly aware about.
And if I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, you know.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I can't sit here and say, oh, he was soft for getting offended by that, because for all we know, there's more to it. If there's not more to it, and it was just him taking offense with the comment, it is what it is. It's not going to have any tangible effect in any way on anything or anyone. Yeah. Do they take a lot of shots up? They always say punch up, don't punch down, right? Like, they're always punching up. AEW does it a lot, but you know, I mean, WWE has taken shots at AEW. There's no questions asked. And I mean, the reality is too, like, they tried to cut them off at the ankles when they moved NXT head to head with Dynamite.
Absolutely. Yes, they did. I totally agree with that.
They tried to make sure that Dynamite wouldn't make it past its first year of existence.
I agree. So, and I know that Hunter at the time tried to deny it. There was no question. And especially when it came out how much they were getting paid. They're getting paid almost nothing for that contract. They absolutely, I agree with you 100%.
So I think Tony took that very personally. And as a result, since then, there are some parallels between Tony Khan and Eric Bischoff that are just, it's very ironic.
I want to say one thing. Whoever's managing our Fightful account, might be Sean, I don't know. They said,
oh, I believe it's Kate.
Oh, Kate's doing it? She said, Brandy did, Jade did. I'm honestly not familiar with any of that. Like, I don't know anything Brandy said. I don't know anything Jade said. I got no idea about any of it. Like, yeah, do you know?
There was the comment. I don't want to misquote anything, but there was a comment. Yeah, this was it. Cody said something along the lines of, keep my wife's name out of your mouth. Like, he didn't say it verbatim like that, but there was something that was akin to that around that weekend. I'm trying to remember what the exact context of it was.
I have no idea. Now, somebody, I do want to address this, because a few people have said, well, Punk took a bunch of shots. That's different to me. It was an interview where he was asked.
Yeah, and it was a very personal situation for him.
Yeah, like, Punk did not go on Raw. People have to try to understand. Punk did not go on Raw and grab the microphone and look into the camera and say, oh, it's great to have a sold-out crowd for once. You know what I mean? He didn't do nothing like that. This was an interview where Ariel Helwani specifically asked him questions about AEW. And to me, that's not the same. And to me, it'd be no different if Tony Khan did an interview with Ariel Helwani and Ariel Helwani specifically asked him questions looking to get a certain answer about WWE. I wouldn't look at that as Tony Khan taking shots either. You're being asked specific questions. It's not the same.
Kate says, Brandy said, what I feared is what we're seeing in response to AEW.
Okay, I have no idea. No idea. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to, as
in this particular instance, referring to Toni Storm's comments.
Right.
She's extremely over the top in press conferences. It's her gimmick. It's her shtick. I mean, she even said, I don't care how many stories you finish. Like, it was just.
Right.
It was just silly, and I'm not looking too far into it. And, you know, it's all very personal for Cody. Understandably, it's a very personal situation. He helped start the damn company. So it's all going to be very personal.
But the thing is Cody, again, I can't speak for him. And if it upset him, it upset him. Cody's crushing it, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's the top guy in the top company. He just signed a big new contract. If it was me, I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't, because you're crushing it. But I can't speak for him. So.
Listen, one thing we know about Cody, he's a very prideful person. He's a very prideful person. And
But I do think that the shots on television, you got to be smart about how often you're doing that stuff. Because, again, if you got to think about this. If you're a new viewer, let's say that you caught the first quarter of Collision because you're watching basketball. Or you caught Tony Khan's interview with the neck brace and you thought, oh, you know, I might want to check that out. If you're a new viewer and you're seeing this shot at WWE, that shot at WWE, that shot at WWE, you might look at them and say, well, this is low rent. Why do I want to watch this? So I think you got to be smart. Focus on your product.
Yeah, I get that. But there's also been history that suggests that every now and then it's effective to take a shot.
Sure, every now and then. I agree.
So I see there's a medium to be reached.
Between
that. If it's nonstop, it's definitely overwhelming.
Right.
But if you're not doing at all, I think you're doing yourself a disservice and accepting your spot.
Oh, I 100% agree. Yep.
And I don't think you should ever accept your spot in a situation like that, especially because, like I said, I have no doubt Tony took it very personally when NXT tried to undercut Dynamite like that. And
You know what? Do you remember? Do you remember when? I can't recall what show it was. Might have been an NXT PLE, and they booked it the same day as a AEW pay per view. I think it was.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan went nuts at the scrum and said, "I'm not going to sit here and take this fucking shit." Right.
Yeah.
I did this podcast with Sean, and I said, if I'm Nick Khan or if I'm Triple H, and if I just saw how easily I just rattled him just by doing that, I'm looking at the AEW calendar.
just booking every events against it.
Yes. Every single one, I'm booking a PLE because now I saw how easily I can get to him. So sometimes you know, you want to
play your cards.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Poker face it.
Yep.
I got you.
That's all I got for you, man.
Good stuff, man. This is fun stuff. I always love doing the hump with you. I appreciate
it. And thanks for doing this again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe I'll look into the sous vide thing. I'll admit my wife does the cooking in our household, but maybe we'll look into the sous vide thing.
Game changer. Let me tell you. I've done this last summer. I did 24-hour Korean short ribs in the sous vide. You just let it go. 24 hours.
Comes right off the bone, right?
And it was top five thing I've ever cooked. It was so good. I highly encourage. I'm in my smoker stage too. So
how are you?
I'm into that for sure. But yeah, man, this is fun stuff. I'm going to be back later on tonight. I got two shows. Hardy and I are doing a live Ask Matt Anything on his YouTube page. Then afterwards, I'm going to be live with Alex talking about AW Dynamite. Again, we'll be giving you updates on Rampage. So come join us. We'll do kind of a quasi watch along while we recap Dynamite. Should be fun. A little something different there. Best wishes to Sean, as we said at the beginning of the show. Special thanks to Kate for monitoring the chat and all the super chats we got here. Anything else you want to throw out there, Jimmy?
No, that's it. That's it. Like you said, best wishes to Sean and his family. Kate, she knows how much I think of her. She's been very helpful even today in setting all this stuff up for us. So thanks to her for her help. And that's it, bud. Take care of yourself.
This has been The Hump. We'll see you next time right here on Fightful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.